Hi, this is Christy Whitman and Rebecca Grotto with Divine Manifesting. Hey, Rebecca.
Hey, Christy. Welcome back.
Oh, thank you. It feels so good to be back. I'm actually not back, but I'm in Manhattan right now, which I just absolutely love this city. It's got such a beautiful high energy and it's so much fun, and so I'm here doing a bunch of speaking engagements, but it's good to actually be back on the show. How have you been?
Oh, phenomenal. Very, very well. Thank you. But I missed you, Christy.
Oh, thank you.
Karen and I had a great show last week. Karen is just always, as always, just this wealth of information, and she's just such a beautiful spirit.
Yes.
Enjoyed being with her.
She's got a lot of depth and a lot of knowledge to her. She's amazing.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Well, today we are going to be talking about the law of detachment, and the law of detachment is similar to the law of allowing, but it's a little bit different. And basically the law of detachment says, in order to acquire anything in this physical reality, this physical universe, you have to relinquish your attachment to it. And it really is, I think even the Buddha says that it's our attachment that causes great suffering in our lives. And this doesn't mean that you have to create by default or, you know, not be a deliberate creator like we've been talking about, or that you shouldn't intend for what you want to create, but it is being detached from the timing of the universe and really trusting and knowing that all things are going to happen with the trust of the universe. Would you like to speak to that?
Oh, exactly. I think the word that comes to me is faith.
Yeah.
And I work with so many people who, you know, again, we're trying to take more personal responsibility for our creations and not just be victim to what happens to us. But there's a little bit of a paradox there, which is if I'm taking responsibility for what I'm creating, don't I need to sort of hold on to it like a pit bull? Don't I need to stay steadfast to it? And it's such an irony, but what I really feel is when we have great faith and trust in the universe, which takes practice, takes discipline, and it takes, you know, learning how to do this. But when we have faith, you realize that you set your intention, you decide what it is that you desire, and then you let go. You just absolutely let it go. So, and the way I envision it in my mind is you have to create that mock-up in your mind right in front of you, but then you have to let it go so it can go become manifest. It's almost like I think I heard Deepak Chopra say you plant the seed and then you have to trust that it's in there and it's going to break through ground in the fall. You don't keep unearthing it to see if it's, you know, if it's there, if it's real. And so I think, you know, they go hand in hand. We do create our intentions, but then we have to let it go. And I think for a lot of people that's difficult. It's sort of this egoic control picture.
Yes.
And I think when you have great faith in the universe, you can let it go. You hand it over to something much greater than you and say, this or something better is what I would like.
Absolutely. And to that, too, like, you know, it's the example of, you know, planting that seed. You tend to that, you know, you tend to it. You water it. You do whatever you need to do. So it's that taking the action portion of the manifestation process. You obviously have to take the action, but then ultimately it's up to the universe to allow it to grow. And this is one of my big things that I've always been kind of in a struggle with, and I've come to really appreciate detachment lately, because I really get when you detach, that's when everything can go through. And I have a beautiful story to illustrate that, because, you know, again, this law didn't come very easy for me. I mean, I'm the one that wrote the book Perfect Pictures, which is all about having attachment to, you know, our pictures turning out a certain way. And, you know, it really does cause a lot of suffering. And there was during a period of my life, which I'm sure I know you are very well aware of, but the listeners aren't, but during a period of my life, I was going through a very amicable divorce, but still I was going through a divorce. And I knew that I didn't want to stay in the town that I was living in, because I lived in Redding, California, which is a very small town, and my former husband was from there. So I wanted to really start my new life somewhere else. And because of the beautiful law of attraction, it went to work immediately, and I intended that I wanted to move. And I literally remember sitting in my car one day, and I said, please, universe, give me some type of sign, show me what could be my possibilities for moving. And I literally came home that day, and there was an email that went out to all the sales reps, because I was a pharmaceutical rep at the time, And it said that there was a sales training manager position available in Philadelphia. And I just giggled and immediately emailed my manager and said, I want to apply for this. So it was 2 days later, I got the interview and literally was whisked to Philadelphia. And within a couple of days after that, I got the promotion. And it was just beautiful timing of the universe type of thing. So because I got this this promotion, they moved me across the country, which led me to start a whole brand new life for myself. It really moved me in a different place. And with the promotion, I was able to have 3 months that I was in an apartment that was a furnished apartment, and they were storing all my furniture and everything. And during that 3 month time, I was supposed to find a place to live. So I was in this apartment, and during that time, I mean, my perfect picture of what everything was supposed to happen, it's that word supposed to, or that should, I thought, okay, I'm going to move there. I'm immediately going to find a beautiful townhouse, and then when the whole timing of everything is going to be perfect, I'm going to sell the house in California, because I literally had created my dream house with my former husband. But obviously I needed to detach from that house so that I could move on in Philadelphia and purchase my townhome. So my whole thing with the timing was that, okay, the house is going to sell, I'm going to be able to get the money out of escrow, and then I'll be able to buy my new townhomes, and it's all going to happen within 3 months time frame so that I'm able to just move directly from the apartment directly into my townhouse, and, everything is just going to be perfect. And what happened was that the house was not selling as fast as I thought it would, or felt that it should. I'm doing air quotes. Every time we would get an offer, it was lower than we wanted, or my former husband wasn't amicable to the offer, and I was getting more and more and more and more attached to, no, it has to happen this way. I can't move and then move again, and I'm not going to move into an apartment or move in somewhere else and then have to move again. And it was just all, I was so upset because this picture that I had of this perfect flow was not happening in my life. And the thing was is that I literally just thought, I was ridden with anxiety because this was not going the way I wanted to. It was almost 2.5 months. I had 2 weeks left of living in that apartment and didn't have a place to live yet. And clearly the house hadn't sold yet. So it was like, okay, I need to make a decision, and I'm just going to go with the flow. I'm just going to absolutely trust that the universe knows a better way. There's a better reason. Something's happening that I just can't foresee. And I know you and I have had many conversations about that during that time. And I finally just let go. And miraculously what happened was, there was a woman that I worked with, and she said, hey, I have friends that have a brand new townhouse. No one's ever lived in it. They're going to be renting it. Do you want to go see it? And I said, absolutely. So I went and saw it. It was perfect for me. Like I said, nobody had lived in it yet. It was exactly what I needed. No, it wasn't my own, but that was okay. And I decided, okay, I'll take it. And then 2 days later, the house sold, and I thought, okay, this is something's going to be happening with this. So because I moved into this place, I really did not, and I unpacked, and I got all settled in there, and I had 6 month lease. The last thing I wanted to do was pack up and move again. And it was only a couple months later, I think it was less than a month, that I met Frederick. And, he lived in Canada. And had I purchased my own home, when the timing of when we were to go and move, or when I was supposed to sell my place, it would have been a lot more difficult because of the fact that the market had really, really gotten saturated, and there was a lot of townhomes on the market. Plus, what I would have paid, I would have, and sold it, pretty quickly, I would have lost a lot of money. And the fact is that I rented this place, so when my lease was up, I was able to just pack everything up and move to Canada and be with him. So it's just amazing because right when we're in the middle of all that struggle, that anxiety, and in our pictures and attachments of the way things are supposed to be, it's like the universe sees from more of like a bird's eye view of what needs to happen in our life. And like you said, Rebecca, it's absolutely trusting the universe, trusting the timing of the universe, and having faith not only in yourself that you are creating what you want and you're deliberately creating it, but then letting it go and letting the universe do its thing.
Mm-hmm. I think it's having that faith in something outside of ourselves, which we're really programmed not to have. I mean, we're really programmed to control it all, to trust ourselves, which is a good thing, But I'm talking about really trusting that inner part of ourselves that is connected to something much greater and being able to turn that over. I think our egos just love to control the whole show.
Mm-hmm.
But its vision is so limited. And like you said, Christy, I mean, you could only see what was directly in front of you. And there's something much greater than you that can see around the corner, that can see the bigger picture. And I know how difficult it is to turn that over and to say, I will be fine. But that faith and that belief, as we sort of hone that and come to count on that, really guides us well. And I think that this is a key step in divinely manifesting, which is you set an intention and then you let it go. And then you almost like send it away and then wait for it to come back. It's almost like putting a cake in the oven. You put all the ingredients in that you desire, and then you put it in the oven, shut the door, and know that when it comes out, it'll be absolutely perfect. It's probably going to be different than what you thought, but it will be better, and it will be exactly what you need at the time. And I think there are those people who are just really great at that, who sit back like a child almost and go, "Wee! I can't wait to see what I'm going to get," instead of going, it needs to look like you said, exactly like this, it's supposed to look like this, it needs to be. I mean, what fun is there in life when we're like that? You know, there's no room for just surprises. There's
miracles.
No room for being, you know,
yeah,
given something even better. You know, it just, there's nothing more fun than saying, ooh, I thought I was going over here, but look where I ended up.
Yeah.
This is so much better than I could have ever imagined. That's just fun.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it truly is the difference between living in your higher self and living in your lower self. Higher self being connected to spirit, lower self obviously being in the ego. And when you are in a place of being in your higher self, it's like there's so much space. And you allow that space to just, you know, it's almost like a vacuum. You create this space so that things can easily flow to you.
Mm-hmm.
And when you are in your lower self, it's like the difference of being expanded or being constricted. And when you are in your lower self, you're very, very constricted. It has to be this way, has to be that way. And there's not a lot of room for miracles and for magic to happen. But when you're in your higher self and you're connected with all that is, and it's like there's unlimited possibilities and everything is possible, you completely allow that magic, those miracles to flow through you. And
right,
you feel a sense of expansion. You feel a sense of like, woo, you know, and the magic then can flow through you. And
isn't it just more fun?
Yeah. Yeah.
It just is. And I think that, you know, I think when you start living like that, what comes to my mind is people really don't like that, because when you've given up your control stuff and they're still attached to that control stuff, they don't like it when you're not on their timetable.
Right.
You know, I'm thinking of like, you know, they want to know, well, when are you going to get here? What do you mean? I need to know exactly when. When are you going to call? When is it going to be? You know, when you're like, oh, I don't know. I mean, I'll get there when I get there, I guess. And it's like, I find that I bug people because I'm just sort of more in the flow now. So it's like, you know, I'll call you when I get around to calling you, and it'll be just perfect. And, you know, I'll show up when I show up, and within reason. But what I'm saying is, you know, I think there's that space where I really like to be around other people who are like, great, I'll see you this afternoon. And there's no like, well, what time? Well, when should I expect you? Or, you know, we need to be here. There should be, there's this picture in my mind. I love being around those people who are like, yeah, whatever, we'll just figure it out when we get there, and it'll just happen, and we just let ourselves be guided, and we end up at the most perfect place, and, you know, and we ended up finding something new and exciting. And to me, it's like this is becoming so my norm now. It's like, well, what are you doing? I don't know.
Yeah.
I really don't know what my day is going to bring. I just kind of know that I'm supposed to show up here or this, and what, you know, it's really fun. I love being in that space, like you said, in that flow,
yeah,
of it, you know. But then there's this other little egoic voice that goes, well, how are you going to get it all done? How are things supposed to get done if you're in that, you know, in that mindset? And, you know, it's so funny. It's kind of what you were saying to me earlier. It's actually very interesting how things actually get done more efficiently when you're in that space. It's like, I don't even know how it showed up, but I was right there, and I remembered I needed to get all these things, and they happened to be all in this time, you know, in this place, and it all just happened so perfectly, and magically I got home, and everything was checked off my list.
Yeah. And I'm unlike you in a way that, you know, it's like I do schedule a lot of things, and I do, you know, have times that I need to be places, but it's wonderful to know that it's like, okay, I set an intention that I'm always going to be on time, and
yeah.
I have all these different, you know, appointments that I have to be at or things I have to do. And so, of course, my intention is that I'm on time, but that it's like I get so much accomplished when I'm in that space of flow. It's like, yeah, we were talking about this earlier. I mean, I had, you know, a million and one things in an hour to do it, and it was just like I felt so grounded and just so wonderful. But, you know, it's almost like time slows down because you're in that vortex. You're in that vortex of, like, being with the universe. And you just have this clear intention that everything gets done, and it just does. And then there's time to spare. So it's like the more grounded you are, the more in touch with the universe and the universal flow, the more you flow, and the more things just happen. And it's just, it's all done from a place and a space of absolute joy, absolute freedom. And there's no, like, gotta get it done, you know, like that mm-hmm. stress, that anxiety of, oh my God, I've only got so much time. And, you know, it's amazing how when you're in the mm-hmm. flow, literally life just flows.
And, you know, Karen and I talked about this last week, and not, that doesn't mean that everything happens as we expected it to be. There's so many times where things fall apart according to our picture of how it should be.
Mm-hmm.
And how do you stay graceful through that? And I think we're talking about the same thing. It's really allowing and being detached from, you know, the fruits of our labor or our pictures of how we think it should be. You know, we thought we were going in one direction, and we can be, you know, rudely kicked off path and set on a different course. And I think the bottom line, you know, that I've come to realize is you're going to be taken to a different course no matter what. The only thing you have control over is do you go kicking and screaming
mm-hmm.
and begrudgingly, or do you just say, oh, I guess I'm supposed to be over here now.
Are you flexible? Yeah.
Or I guess this is how it should be. You know, and I think there's just this thing called grace and the faith that it's all as it should be. I'm being guided to where I need to be guided. Am I doing my part? Absolutely. Well, then just let go and relax, because all you can control is how much you're enjoying the experience, you know. And I was talking to somebody yesterday, and we were laughing because we were saying she really felt like she was just enduring this mean time that she was in the middle of. I'm just enduring it. And I'm thinking, well, where is the fun in that? And what are you now attracting to yourself? And the thing she did have creative control over is enduring it or enjoying it.
Mm.
Those were her choices. Do you want to endure the mean time? And the bottom line is, isn't really the meantime between birth and death, because we're always in the meantime.
Yeah, exactly.
We always are planning to get somewhere, and then we'll start enjoying life. But really, I think the meantime is between birth and death, and we ought to just start enjoying it now. And it was really fun to watch her shift her energy. She's like, I have been just like grinning and bearing it and just enduring it. And it's like, just shift that energy, because that's just not fun. And I think we really, truly are supposed to be enjoying life.
Yeah.
And when we can, it's like then things, like you were talking about, we get into the flow. And so, again, that key of being detached, being surrendered to the shoulds and the expectations that we have of our life, and recognizing that it's always going to be different than what you think it's going to be. And therein lies not the misery of your life, but the absolute surprises, the miracles of your life. It's like, how boring is life if you get everything you expect? On one level, it's kind of good. On another level, that's just boring.
You don't make way for the miracles.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
What
came to me is a funny thing happened to me last weekend, I believe. It was last Sunday. I travel quite a bit, and I've done a lot of traveling in my life for my jobs and different things. And now that I own my own, you know, business, I'm traveling quite a bit. And I I'm very anal when it comes to getting to the airport on time. Because
not you, Christy. Not you.
No, yeah, of course not. No, no, not at all. Not me. I don't have pictures at all about that kind of stuff. But I had gotten to the airport. I was in Chicago, and I was leaving to actually meet my my wonderful partner in Albany, in New York. And we both just missed each other because we had spent 4 days apart. And we're really excited to see each other. And so I get to the airport, it's like 2 hours ahead of time, and I'm sitting at the gate that I'm supposed to be at. And I'm just kind of into my own work, because when I get into a zone with work, you know, and writing and things like that, I get very, very focused. And I'm noticing it's like 8:35, and that's when the flight was supposed to take off, or was supposed to board. And I'm noticing that they're not boarding it. So I'm like, huh, it's kind of weird. So I kind of sat there for a couple more minutes, and the flight was supposed to leave at 8:55, I believe, and I'm just sitting there, and there's kind of people around me standing around, and all of a sudden I go, are you guys on the Albany flight? And this one man that says, no, I'm going to Connecticut, and this other man says, yeah, I'm going to Connecticut, and I'm like, that's really weird. So it's like, you know, now 8:45, and I'm like, well, this is kind of bizarre. They should at least make an announcement that's late or something. So I go right up to the counter, and I said, is this the flight for Albany? And she said, no, that gate was moved, you know, an hour ago. And I'm like, oh, my God. And she said, you better run. And she tells me where the gate is. So I am literally with my computer bag. I've got high heels on. I flip my shoes off. I'm literally booking it down to the other side. I'm in O'Hare. So I'm booking it to the other side of the terminal, almost in another different terminal. I get there right at 8:55, and the door is closed. And I'm like, oh, my God, let me in. And the woman comes out, and she's like, that plane's gone. I'm like, are you kidding me? And she's like, no, it's gone. I'm like, I've been waiting for 2 hours. But, you know, she's like, they changed the gate over an hour ago. And I'm like, I, for whatever reason, must have been so in my zone, I did not hear the plane, you know, the announcement. And I think this is all just a beautiful lesson for me. But I was like, oh, my God. I mean, immediately I went into panic, like, oh, my God, what am I going to do? And immediately she's like, well, I'll get you on the 12 o'clock flight. I'm like, oh, perfect. So, I mean, I literally just sat down, and I was like, okay, I could sit here and freak out for the next 3 hours and, like, you know, freak out that I'm going to see him another 3 hours and or whatever. Or I could just be grateful that I have another flight that's available and that there was seats available on it, and I'm just going to, you know, be here for another 3 hours. So I sat and I got my computer out, and I continued to be focusing on, you bet my ass, that I was sitting there looking at the gate and the thing every 2 minutes that it didn't change. But my point is that it's being flexible and being totally detached. And I think that was such a beautiful lesson for me, because it was like, how detached are you to, you know, to what is supposed to be happening? And I just trusted that, you know, God forbid, maybe something was going to happen with that plane. I hope nothing did. But, you know, there's got to be a bigger picture. There's a bigger reason. There's a bigger why. And, you know, it just, I know that in order, and to me, like, the definition of attachment is that you don't need to have something in order to be happy. So for me to get on that first flight and make it on time, I mean, was that going to be the thing that made me happy? No. My happiness is within me. I believe it's Wayne Dyer that said happiness is, what does he say? It's not something you attain, but it's something, happiness is the way. There is no way to happiness. Happiness is the way. And it's truly just being in that state of being happy, regardless if you miss a plane or if you get on the plane.
Right.
And so that was a big lesson for me. Again, going with the flow and being detached from the outcomes. And it all worked out fine, because truly, where are we all going anyway? Why are we all in such a hurry? You know, we're all going to get there anyway.
Because I think we assign our well-being outside of ourselves. And I think we're just really good at that. You know, it's like, I'll be happy when. I'll be happy when I get married. I'll be happy when I meet him. I'll be happy when I marry him. I'll be happy when I divorce him. I'll be finally happy when. I'll be happy when I have kids. I'll be happy when the kids leave for college. I'll be happy when, you know, I was saying to somebody yesterday, I see mothers do that all the time. Oh, I just can't wait for my kids to be out of diapers. I can't wait for them to get into school when I can have my freedom. I can't wait for them. You know, and then we're bemoaning when they're 18 and they're leaving for college, you know, and I can't wait for them to come home for Christmas vacation. And, you know, and it's like, we can't wait. You know, we always just assign our well-being outside of ourselves. And I think that the truly be empowered people know that it really doesn't matter what's happening outside of you. It really doesn't matter. And to the extent that you can recognize that it doesn't matter if I'm on the plane or if I'm not on the plane, if I'm, you know, in a relationship or out of a relationship, if I'm in that home or I didn't get that home, you know, these are disappointments for sure, and we definitely get to be emotional creatures and have our disappointments, but to the extent that we can come back really quickly and say, this does not define me, it doesn't define my happiness, because my happiness is within me, and, you know, we can have just as much fun, you know, in life, no matter what. I know last week I finally got around to painting my living room with my son. My daughter was down visiting her grandparents. And, you know, I had my wonderful son. We went, we got paint, and we got in the middle of it, and my mind locked on, ugh, I can't wait to get this done. You know, it's hot in here. It smells like paint. And all I kept thinking was, I'll be happy when this is all put together again. And it's done. And, you know, my son, he's so, you talk about how, you know, the way, he's so like, his entire joy is on the journey. There are no goals in life, which you can imagine what that does to me. But like, sometimes there's a balance, honey. We actually do need goals. But he's so about the journey that he really just looked at me like, you're going to be painting this room all by yourself if you don't change your attitude. And I hadn't even said a word. He was just picking up on my energy, you know, on my size. Oh, this is taking forever, you know. And he just looked at me like, you're going to be holding this paintbrush all by yourself if you don't change your energy. And I really thought, Christy, what am I waiting for? You know, what I am in here, it's a beautiful afternoon. I have my son home for the summer. You know, here I am having this incredible summer day with my guy. We're doing this project. How much more fun does life get? Yeah. And I just thought, in this moment, there is such well-being, and we just started giggling, and we were laughing, and pretty soon I realized we were having so much fun. But a moment before that, I was feeling really put upon because I had to paint this whole room. And it was just a matter of realizing that, you know, my happiness didn't lie in when it all gets done and the furniture is put back together, then I'll be happy. My happiness is really in this moment, in changing my perception and letting go.
Absolutely.
And not being attached to, you know, I'll be so glad when this is all done.
Right.
You know, but being more attached to, isn't life great? Isn't this great? Look at us. Look at me painting with my son over here.
Yeah.
And we had so much fun, and we were so proud of ourselves, and I realized I wasn't waiting anymore, and I wasn't postponing my happiness for later. You know, and it, again, these are just such great life lessons, and you know, I think sometimes we can recognize if we're being really attached because we don't breathe. You know, we're holding our breath a lot. You know, it's just like waiting. And it's like, you know, when you recognize that, it's like just stop and breathe. Where are you going? What did you think was going to be better than this moment?
That's exactly it, is that the ego, the lower self, it kind of lies to us, and it kind of gives us that picture that, you know what, anything is better than this moment. And
yeah,
it takes you out of this moment, where this moment, in the present moment, is truly the only place that joy can exist.
Exactly.
That's the only place. And the ego wants to tell you that, oh, but no, 5 minutes from now, when you're over here or when you're doing that, that's going to be so much better than this moment.
Mm-hmm.
And it's such a lie, because that is literally the only present time, or the only joyful time that you can have, is when you're physically in the present moment. It's our conditioned mind, that ego, lower self, whatever you want to call it, that either keeps us in the past, keeps us, you know, resenting the past or having anger or worries or fears or doubts or whatever it is, or in the future. And that way, that's the way it has control, because when we are fully present in the moment, and like you were talking about the breath, when you are deeping breath, when you are breathing deep in and out, and you are focused on this moment, and you are focused on the happiness that's within you now, or the abundance that's within you now, or the joy, whatever it is, you're in the moment, and the ego does not exist, because the ego, that conditioned mind, only exists in the past or in the future. And it's just amazing that, you know, its job is to keep you out of the present.
And the thing that I think listeners would be interested in knowing is that when we're trying to manifest something, if we're sitting in the place in our conditioned mind that says the next moment is when I will be happy, when I get this painting done and the room put back together, when I get on the airplane, when I finally sell my house, when I finally meet him, every time we send it out into the future that I will be happy when, we are, if you really listen to that message, there's a second part to that message. I'll be happy when. What the second part to the message is, because I'm not really truly happy now.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be happy when really implies that where I am in this moment is inferior, inadequate, just not good enough. So therefore, I'll put all my hopes into the future. And from a creative stance, do you really want to be creating your life experience from inadequacy, inferiority,
exactly,
and just not good enough?
Exactly.
And isn't that amazing, Christy, when you think about it, every time we say, it'll be better when,
mm-hmm,
you know, I'll be happy when, what we're saying and what we're implying and where we're vibrating at is, because where I am right now just isn't good enough. It's okay. Sometimes it's all right. Oh, yeah, it's all right. But I'm enduring it. I'm just tolerating it, you know, but I'm wishfully thinking, you know, that it'll get better. And then that implies that this isn't enough.
Absolutely.
And I don't want to be creating my life from that point of, you know, attraction.
Absolutely.
You know, because then that's what I'm going to get back. Is you're going to get okay, but not quite enough. The enough,
yeah,
is going to always be one step ahead of you in the future,
right,
because that's what you're throwing out there. So I think when we really get that, we'll start harnessing our thoughts and recognizing that we do that probably all the time, you know, that, oh, it'll be so much better, you know, when I get done with the day. Ugh, when today's finally done, I'm going to kick up my feet. It's going to be so much better. Oh, when this week, oh, when Friday comes, thank God it's Friday, Christy. You know, then it'll get better. Then I can start breathing and really enjoying my life. When the kids go to college, when they get out of their diapers, when, you know,
absolutely,
when I lose 10 pounds, when I blah, blah, you know, we're doing that
all
the time.
Yeah.
And it's just, again, the implications are so strong. And we don't want to be there as creators. We want to be saying, this moment, where I am, in my life experience, in my body, you know, where I am, oof, it's juicy and it's delicious.
And it's enough. I mean, it's like you said, you know, when you, it's like the visual I always give is like when you go up to a small child and you give them a present and they're just kind of like, yeah, thanks, you know, and then they take it. You sit there feeling like, well, that little shit, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But if you give, you know, a present to a child and they're like, oh my God, thank you, thank you, thank you, and they're just like kissing all over you. Well, you have to think of it like as the universe. I mean, if you're in this moment right here, right now, and it doesn't matter if we're talking about money or our partners or our bodies or whatever it is, even the food that we eat, you know, the food that's presented to us and that we get to eat for lunch or, you know, for dinner, if we're at lunch thinking, I know my mom's a big one of this, she'll be at breakfast wondering what she's going to eat for lunch and then be at lunch wondering what she's going to do for dinner. And it's like if you're not in the present moment just savoring what you're eating in this moment and being appreciative and grateful and letting it be enough, you know, the universe, when you're in that place, the universe is going to want to give you more because it knows that you want to, that you already appreciate and you have gratitude for what you have.
He's
it's delighted. Like that. Yeah, it's like
delighted in that moment.
Yeah, and it's like that, you know, that parent giving to that child where the child's like, "Oh my God, thank you, thank you, thank you." I mean, you just want to give more and more and more to that child because you're like, oh, here, take everything I have, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way the universe is. And another thing that you said that it's so profound, when you're saying it's not enough, you are in lack. And
mm-hmm,
it's another way of thinking, like, you know, it's kind of like there's two ways to be, you know, abundance, lack, you know, heart, being in the space of love or in the space of fear. I mean, there's kind of like it's a higher self, a lower self kind of energy. That's the good news is that you can literally switch. And like what you did when you were with Alex, when you guys were painting that room, It's that you observed what was going on, you made a choice, and then you snapped and you switched and you snapped out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And you then chose to bring in a different energy. You chose to be in that space of abundance. And I have my abundance class coming up on Thursday. If anybody is interested, you can go to ChristyWhitman.com and sign up for it. But it literally is just a transforming of your consciousness from lack to abundance. It's going back to that natural state of being in that space of abundance. And even when you are, like we were talking about, being pulled away from your ego, it's a mind training to allow yourself to be fully in your higher self, appreciating and feeling so grateful for what you have. And that's truly where you have joy. That's where the joy can just completely just shine out of you.
I think we're sometimes conditioned to think, though, that we're supposed to be the smart, capable people are always thinking. You know, they're one step ahead. They're always thinking. And, you know, if you really think about it, to be so innocent and carefree and light, you almost have a feeling from an egoic stance of, well, isn't that just dumb? Isn't that person just a little, you know, shy of a few marbles, you know? And I think, you know, my greatest teacher, you know this, Christy, my greatest guru in this lifetime has been my dog, Joey. And I'm thinking, you know, as you were talking, I'm thinking, boy, you're just describing Joey. He is always so happy and grateful and appreciative. You can be scolding him and his little tail is wagging. He'll put his ears back to act like, I get it, I'm so ashamed of myself, but his little tail's wagging because he totally is like, he can't hide the fact that even in this moment, while you're scolding me, I'm so happy. I'm so happy to be alive. And I just love watching him because in every moment, he just looks like he is so content. He is just so profoundly content. And I get it. I look at him and I think, what is there not to be happy about in this moment? You know, I'm alive. Life is so good, even though it's not what I expect it to be or it's not where I want it to be. In this moment, it's absolutely perfect. And Joey knows that. In this moment, he may not be out for a walk. He may not be eating his dog biscuit or doing all the things that he thinks are just absolutely wonderful, chasing a ball. But in this moment, he'll just look at me like the sun is coming through the window and I'm just so happy. Here I am, you know, laying out, getting a little tan here, and it's just all good. And I don't know, I just think there's something really very innocent about that and very pure. And I think it takes tremendous training to get to that place. I think the masters show us that it's not naivete, it's just very... It's a state of grace and purity that takes tremendous discipline because our ego minds want to come in and say, oh, but that's not smart. That's not streamlined. You know, you need to be thinking three steps ahead to always, you know, be in control and stay ahead. So, yeah.
Absolutely.
It's just, it really is your class, and I know you and I both talk about this a lot. It really is a discipline, and it's a way of, first of all, recognizing that we have a choice in the way that we perceive our world and that we can really alter and choose where we want to be. We can be in thorough enjoyment or we can just be waiting to get to that next place before we start enjoying our lives.
Absolutely. And, you know, to me, too, it's like when we talk about the divine manifesting way, it's really... we've talked about this in bringing in the different laws. It's first having clarity about what you want. And it's kind of one of those things, if you have fuzzy intentions, the universe is going to bring you fuzzy results. It's kind of like if someone says, I want more money. Well, okay, more money's a dollar. If I give you a dollar, is that going to be what you're intending for? So it's really having that clarity of what you want. It's knowing the purpose behind what you want. It's that why, you know, the why I want this, you know, why, what is the reason that I desire this? And for many times I do with my coaching clients and, you know, when I speak to Learning Annex and things like that, it's like, let's get clear about the why, because there's a feeling behind what you want to create, and that feeling is what your why is. It's something that you're hoping to create, and it's like we're talking about right now. It doesn't matter. Say you want to create a new relationship and, you know, the why that you want to create this relationship is that you want to feel that connection. It's like, well, you don't need to have that relationship in order to feel that connection. Just feel that connection. I'll tell you, I am in a hotel room at the, you know, Marriott in New York City right now, and I am so connected to myself, and I am so connected to the universe and to, like, all the people outside just as I walk. And, you know, I'm connected to the space that separates all of us, and you know, just looking at the beautiful trees and the little squirrels that, you know, run through Manhattan and try to run up the trees and not get squashed, and, you know, all the dogs that walk along the street, kind of like you were talking about Joey. They're just so like, yes, I'm so in the moment. And it's just, there's always that sense of connection, and I don't need Frederick in my life to feel that connection, but because I have that connection with myself, because I have that connection with my higher self, with the universe, when I am with him, it's amazing, because it's like it's even a deeper level of connection. So I always ask, you know, figure out what it is, that why, because whatever that feeling is, that you can always bring that into your body right now. You always have access to it in every single moment. And the third thing is you must, and we talked about this on other calls or in their, other radio shows, I know, is that you must believe that you can create it, because your doubt, if you have doubt, then the universe is going to match that doubt, and your manifestations are not going to happen. But what I really wanted to touch on, and you were talking about, like, really successful people, and I would put us both in that category, is commitment. And it's, you know, most people don't have an idea of what commitment is, and I know a lot of people are getting frustrated because they watch the movie The Secret and they think, okay, I'll just meditate, or I'll sit here and visualize, or, you know, I'll write out my goals, and then if one thing happens, there's like one bump in the road and it doesn't go their way, they're like, oh well, I tried. And it's like, where is your commitment? Because commitment is, it literally means to devote oneself unreservedly, and it's not committing yourself 99.9%, it's committing yourself 100% to whatever it is that you want. And it's kind of that balance that we're talking about today. It's that balance of being truly in the moment, being connected, being centered, be with your breath, being the flow of the universe, but at the same time, taking those committed actions, taking that, you know, if something doesn't go right, you know, following through with it. And I know that you and I have talked many, many times before, like with Jack Canfield and Mark Victor Hansen, when they were looking to get their book Chicken Soup for the Soul published. They were turned down by 120 publishers. 120 publishers basically told them, this will never sell, we don't have a market for it. And the 121st or 21 publisher finally saw their vision and got it published. And my point is that if they were not committed, if they weren't 100% to put 100% of themselves, their soul, their heart, everything into what they saw as a vision, and they gave up on the 60th, no, you know, maybe it was like, oh, maybe this just isn't meant to be, they would have never created the, you know, multi-million dollar industry that they have, and, you know, this empire that they have, and changed a lot of people's lives because of
it. And the word that comes up for me again is faith.
Yeah.
Something in them had to be committed, but they also were committed through faith. They had a faith in what they were trying to achieve. They had a faith in something greater than themselves, that it would provide. Eventually, it will provide. You know, if I'm aligned with good intention, it will come through sooner or later. And I think that faith keeps us on course a lot. You know, so as you said that, I thought, oh, there's that opportunity for us to practice faith. Because, you know, most of us, I promise you, around the 32nd rejection would have, if we didn't have great faith in our project, in our abilities, in the universe to care for us and provide for us, hey, we would have given up a long time ago. Who needs this rejection?
Right.
Who needs to be told it isn't going to happen? And like you said, I mean, I think that commitment is a very powerful thing. But, you know, so I've heard Swami Rama say, you know, take your life lightly, but take your duty to God seriously. And I think, you know, it made me think of, you know, where we set our greatest, where we should be so committed to is those things that really matter. And the rest we then take lightly. So it's like, you know, set the course for what really matters in your life, your passion and your purpose. And then take the rest, you know, very lightly, because it's probably not going to be what you expected anyways. But if the course is set, then it doesn't matter what storms come in the way. It doesn't matter what happens to the ship. It doesn't matter. The course has already been set, and I think that's where we get to come in and really sort of flex our muscles, is where am I going? What direction? Whether it's as parents, it's what was my original intention here with this child.
Absolutely.
And then the rest falls right into place. And I know I've had that opportunity over the course of, you know, raising my son 19 years of this. There were many times where I floundered and I didn't know what I was doing and we got off course. And there were certain things that I had set in the beginning of our relationship that led me back to our original agreements. What was my agreement with this child? And it was that thing that got me back on path, and everything else became very unimportant. I took it lightly. You know, it wasn't important. It wasn't what was, it wasn't what mattered. There was, so when you're saying, you know, be committed, I really think that first and foremost, we have to be very clear on what matters, what's important. Set the course for your life. What is your purpose for being here? What are your, you know, your values, your morals, what is real for you. And then take the rest lightly. Mm-hmm. The rest is going to be pretty unimportant. It's not going to be what you expected, so don't get too attached to it. And, you know, but just be committed to that which is real and true. And I'm thinking, even as I'm saying that, boy, life would just be so much easier if we were to actually do that on a regular basis, you know?
Well, yeah, it's that balance, it's that dance between, like you say, you know, I'm saying be 100% committed, but then we're talking about detachment. So it's like, how do you do that? It's knowing that you're committed to making something work, whether it's your marriage, whether it's your, you know, your business, whatever it is, but detaching from what the way that's going to look, the way that it's going to manifest, and it's allowing, knowing that you are going to take all the actions that you need to take to, you know, be the parent that you intend to be, you know, like you were talking about, being committed to staying in your higher self. I mean, even those type of commitments. I mean, for me...
Well, exactly. I think the greatest commitment is God realization love.
Yeah. That's what I always say, is that it's like, I feel like my job in this world is to stay completely, absolutely clear and empower myself so that I am able to then empower others, and when I'm coaching and when I'm speaking, so that spirit can come through me so that I'm able to touch their lives. And that is my commitment. And I'm very detached from what happens to that. So I think that's where the balance is.
Right. I think my best therapy sessions have been exactly that, to set the intention of, I really hope for the greatest good of this person. Not, gee, I hope I sound brilliant. I hope, I really come through and say the right words. None of that is important. It's, I really hope for the greatest good for this person, you know, or whatever that intention may be, that I really hope they feel loved. I hope they feel whatever it is, you know. Again, they can be very broad strokes, like I said, God realization or just love. I choose to be just a light in this world. I hope to be an inspiration. Leave it at that, and then how it manifests, how it shows up, what that looks like, you know, ends up being what it needs to be, but I'm not in charge of that, nor am I attached to that. So, you know, we just set, again, the course, the commitment is to the course and not to the way that it shows up, but
Absolutely.
Just to achieving that, you know, that direction. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, next week on the show, we are going to be talking about the power of self-love, and I know you and I had talked about that we weren't going to talk about this until September, because we have a course coming up in October, but Rebecca, it's filling up, and I just think that it's fair to mention it to the radio listeners, because it's filling up, and people, we haven't even, like, talked about it to any of our groups or anybody, so I thought we would just at least talk about it a little bit, what the course is, and then next week we're going to really dive into what is self-love and how it affects how you create and, you know, being in touch with the universe and how it affects everything in your life. I mean, when you love yourself, it just doesn't affect you. It literally affects your children, your parents, your partners, your work life, and your whole entire connection to the universe. And Rebecca and I are going to be doing a teleseminar on September 13th. It's going to be 6:00 Pacific time, and you can go to ChristyWhitman.com to learn more about it, or send me an email at Christy@ChristyWhitman.com, and that's Christy@ChristyWhitman.com. And the course that we're going to be doing is going to be starting in October, and it is going to be literally a six-week course, and Rebecca and I are going to take women, and sorry guys, it's only for the women, but if you have wives or sisters or daughters or someone that you think that could really benefit from it, we are going to literally turn these women into absolute goddesses that they are. We're going to release all the stuff that prevents them from knowing that goddessness of themselves and really be able to step into that power so that they are able to become divine manifestors. And it's all in the secret of self-love. And the problem is that most people don't know how to love themselves. It's kind of like, you know, we can teach you how to, we can tell you all about, you know, how to swim, but it's not until you actually get in the swimming pool and start swimming and really get some sensation in your body where you're going to be able to experience. And so Rebecca and I, during the six-week course, are going to allow each and every woman, that wonderful woman that is on the call or in the course, to really bring in the essence of self-love. And it's just amazing what happens in your life when that happens. So,
and I think the reason that we've really directed it towards women is because women are so good at giving it all away.
Yeah.
We're just, you know, we really get it that we give it all away. We give all our love. We give all our attention. We give... You know, everybody gets, you know, it first before we really turn that love and attention onto ourselves, if there's anything left over. And, you know, and we're just guilty of that. And I think that on one level, that's a very beautiful thing, that women are, we tend to be such nurturers and such healers and such givers. On the other hand, I think it's time that we start learning that we are the most important people to begin giving to,
mm-hmm.
and from there, all others are nourished and get the overflow of all that abundance. But I think for most women, it's really foreign, and I think that what they will get in this six-week course is they will begin to see the importance, the absolute importance of loving, learning to love ourselves first and foremost. And that doesn't mean it takes away from those around us. In fact, it means they benefit from all the love that we end up giving to ourselves. And I think that, you know, we ultimately see in our outer reality, is a direct reflection of how much we love ourselves. I know, Christy, you always say that, and that is such a beautiful quote. But it's so true. It's, you know, we really only see and reap to the extent that we love and appreciate and approve of ourselves. And so I think this is just one of the most powerful courses we teach, Christy, and and I think that is why it's filling up so fast, because I think women are really sensing that this is life-changing. It is an amazing, amazing course. So I'm so happy to be offering that with you.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just amazing to me. It's like when we set the date, the universe, again, it's kind of that divine manifesting thing. The universe just starts bringing you these people, that these women that are really, I mean, I know, you know, you've come to me and said, God, you know, my clients are all like clamoring for this information. And when I happened to mention, well, we're going to be having literally a six-week course coming up in October, they're like, sign me up now. And the same thing is happening with my coaching clients as well. It's like just a quick mention of this is something that we're really going to dive deep into. You know, I had a girl that I've been working with for a long time, and we did some goddess work together, and her life literally has shifted. And she said, you know, I really want to be able to get some CDs from you. And I said, well, I have some CDs that I can definitely, you know, send you that are on goddess work, but we're going to be doing this this six-week course and really getting into it, and it's going to be better than just CDs. And she's like, sign me up. I mean, and like I said, we haven't even advertised it yet, and it's filling up. So it's amazing to me that when you are on purpose and when you are giving from your heart and when you're in alignment with your higher self, the universe absolutely bends over backwards to bring you the perfect people, situations, circumstances to allow your dreams come true. Because it literally, I know for both of us, it is our absolute vision, absolute dream, absolute desire to empower women. Because my whole motto, my whole mission in life is that I want to empower myself so that I am then able to empower others. And when I hold steadfast in that vision, it's amazing to me the clients that come to me and the people that sign up for these courses. So it's an honor to do it with Rebecca, too. She is literally the goddess of all goddesses, and it's just an honor to work with her and have her as a partner and as a friend and just as a wonderful companion to walk this path with. So I'm honored to be offering this class with her in October. So.
Oh, Christy, thank you so much. Right to my heart.
That
right to my heart and back at you, Christy.
Thank you.
It's such a journey, writing the book and doing these workshops and just taking my walks with you.
Yeah.
On this journey is just such a blessing. So back at you.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much for
You're
so beautiful
welcome.
Words. And I hope to share all of that information and love and wisdom with women and help them connect with their inner wisdom, because there's just nothing quite like that.
Doesn't matter. It's literally, I mean, it's just amazing to me. You know, I'm a girl that loves shoes and I love diamonds and I love nice houses and all that kind of stuff, and all those things are fun and nice cars and blah, blah, blah. But there is nothing in the world like being connected and in love with yourself. Nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, but it's been a wonderful show. And I, again, if you want to get a hold of me, I'm at Christy at ChristyWhitman.com. And Rebecca, she's at RebeccaGrotto.com. And we will talk next week on self-love. And, you know, we've given you the keys to the car. All you have to do is open up the door, sit in the car seat, turn on the ignition, and get it going. So,
and enjoy the ride,
and
girls?
Yep, and enjoy the ride. So,
yep, absolutely.
Absolutely. So it's been a wonderful show. Thank you all for listening, and have a fabulous week.
Yeah. Thanks, Christy.
Thank you, Rebecca.